Right, thank you. So I had this email out of the kind of out of the blue from Jeremy asking me if I wanted to speak today. I was like, wow, that's, yeah, of course. Never in a million years am I going to say no. But then I went away and thought about it and kind of went, shit, what am I actually going to say to you guys that you don't already know? And so I thought about it some more and realised the one thing that's unique to me that I can share with you guys is actually my experience. Because I have been running my own business for nearly five years now, and for the last two of those, I've been doing it as responsive by default. So I don't give anybody any options anymore of the sort of website they want. Did that work? No, don't matter, I'll use that. I don't give them any options, but I have my processes and things, which I found now work really well, and my clients respond really well to them. But I didn't get there by accident. I made an awful lot of mistakes along the way. And so that's what I thought I'd share with you today, actually, is some of the mistakes I made rather than telling you what I think you should do, because hopefully you'll find that a bit more entertaining. And if you don't, I've got some really tacky animated GIFs that will at least entertain you. So before I get started, I'd like everybody in the room to stand up, please. Excellent. Right. I'd like you all to look at the person next to you, left or right, as long as there's like not people on the end that are left out. Right. And I want you to ask yourselves really, really honestly whether looking at that person, whether you trust them enough to do this exercise. You know the one where you stick your arms out? So. I would actually ask you to do the exercise, but I'm not sure I've got enough insurance in the world if you all fell over. So how many people can honestly say, yes, you trust the person next to you enough for them to catch you? Yeah? Awesome. That's awesome. So you guys are really lucky. How many of you said that you didn't think... How many don't think you would trust that person enough to catch you? Okay, a lot less of you. Wow, you guys are really trusting. Can I have your credit card details later? I won't use them, I promise. Okay, so if you had been less sure, then the next step was I was going to ask you to remember that feeling, because that lack of trust is what the potential client is first feeling when they come in to speak to you about a website. Because trust doesn't just naturally appear from nowhere. It needs to grow, it needs to be nurtured, and we need to build that relationship with the client. And we tend to do that by using deliverables or little doggies with signs on, whichever works. So I'm going to take you back. Oh, yeah, you can sit down now. Sorry, I can't actually see you out there. So always helpful. Okay, so now you've all sat down, I'm going to take you on a slight time travel to olden days where your workflow, probably in the days before responsive design, was pretty simple and probably looked a lot like this. We'd have our client discussions. You'd plan and do the wireframes. You'd show them to the client, get them signed off. You'd normally then have Photoshop designs or something similar, whatever was pretty much pixel perfect. You'd build it. The client's happy. There's not exactly a lot you have to do there to build trust. It's all pretty much done for you. And if you worked in a similar setup to me, when I worked at an agency, if I was given a Photoshop file, I was expected to build it to absolute pixel perfection. So what we'd shown the client was literally exactly what they were going to get. So jump forward. In 2010, I decided I didn't want to work at an agency anymore. I wanted to go freelance and set up on my own, and I pretty much imagined that this is what it was going to be like. I think if there's any doubt about my design skills, this answers any questions. This is obviously what I thought it would be like. I'd have tons of time to sit around in my pink house in my pink pyjamas with my many cats. I don't have many cats, by the way. And I'd have tons and tons of time to learn and to be able to stay ahead of the curve and to read blog posts and try new techniques and things. And all these things I'd been telling myself when I worked for someone else, I'd do in my own time, and I never did, really. But that wasn't really the case, and I found it really frustrating that I didn't have the time to do that as a freelancer. So jumping forward 2 years, I decided I couldn't keep up any other way than unless I was going to apply this to client work. This was a huge decision that I clearly didn't think through very well. But I made the choice that this was it. I was just going to make all of my work responsive as default, and that would be the end of that. And it was a huge decision. It seemed the most obvious to me. And I considered myself quite late to the party, because by 2012, lots and lots of people were doing this. And I was not really keeping up. So that was how I managed to do it, was just to jump in with both feet. But that raised a lot of questions with approaches and what I was going to give to show to clients and how I was going to do this. And so that's what I'm going to share with you, some of the things that I got horribly wrong. Before I do that, I do feel there's a slight disclaimer I need to say here for pride's sake. I'm about to tell you some of my worst mistakes. This is not an accurate representation of my business. These are all a couple of years old now, so I feel confident enough to tell you that these were mistakes and that I've now moved on. And just in case you've fallen asleep, there is an ultimate badass parakeet for you. So, approach number one. This was pretty much straight after I'd made this decision. I had a couple of projects on the go already. They're already too far along to be able to wind them back and start planning properly from a mobile-first approach. So I was like, well, I really want to just get on and do this now, so what shall I do? So I chose the obvious route, which was to tell my client nothing at all about the responsive website and just give it to them anyway. So I'd go through my normal workflow, and then at the end, I'd hand over the website, and there'd be this amazing surprise of, look at this, if you resize your browser window, it does this amazing thing. And often I got the reaction of the lady in the middle, which was always fun. And the advantages were that my clients were really very happy because I'd over-delivered on quite a massive scale. Because although in 2012, responsive design was something we were reasonably familiar with, most of my clients, anyway, still were not au fait with what the term was or what it meant. So when I actually physically showed them, look, here's your website, and now when you look at it on a mobile, it's different, they were amazed. And I didn't need to change my workflow, so I thought that was a win. Obviously, that's not the case. There were some pretty hefty disadvantages. The biggest one being that, you know, I was applying this to projects that had already started, so I hadn't done any planning on what would happen if I went from three columns down to one, things like that. So things where if I've got navigation and then lots of adverts in the left-hand column and then some content, and I do WordPress sites, so usually the right-hand column's widgets or something like that. On a mobile, you can't have that, because then you'd have a mobile button and a lot of adverts. And then the content, and we didn't know about the grid CSS stuff then to make life easier. So there was a lot, a really, really steep learning curve to try and overcome some of that, which meant that there was an awful lot of an additional time as involved as well. I basically went back to the days where I didn't have time to sleep. Sleep was for weak people, and that I would be able to cope. And of course, all this extra time I wasn't being able to bill anyone for, because I hadn't told them I was going to do it. So that didn't last very long. I skipped that one pretty quickly. So I went on to approach number two, which was very shortly afterwards, and that was instead to promise them nothing. This seemed a much better approach to me, because I'm still able to continue with my current workflow, but this time I was going to tell them that they were going to get a responsive website, but literally make no promises about what it was going to look like. I'd made no commitment at all to that. And that, I thought, you know, for a while there, that would be much easier. And there were quite a lot of advantages to that, because my clients were still happy, because I've still delivered what I said I was going to, except I've also delivered something else. I didn't really need to change my workflow, because, you know, I was still pretty tied to the old way of doing things, and I wasn't really sure of the best way to change from that. But now I could also increase my timescales and costs involved and that sort of thing. But there was kind of a rather large disadvantage in that I'd set no expectations on the mobile version at all. So I'm thinking I've done this amazing job and I'm handing over this website, happily patting myself on the back. And they come back with, well, yeah, we really like the desktop. It does exactly what you said, but after speaking to our friends at the coffee morning, we kind of thought the mobile version would do more like Amazon does. We're like, oh, well, there's no way to prepare for that or to gear them up for that at all because I just left them to their own devices. They'd figured something out, spoke to other people that also didn't really know what a mobile website was and formed their own opinions. And then, of course, I'm never going to live up to that. So then there was approach number three. And this one was, so this was a little bit later on. This was last year I was approached to do a really, really big data-driven website. There was a lot of information in it. It was a very large WordPress build with a lot of custom stuff and searches. And I just knew immediately that the way I'd been doing things, there was just no way I could do that with this at all. So for this approach, I went straight to the code. Now, coming from a developer background, this made me really happy. I was really excited about this process. I thought this was the way that I was going to be able to move forward and do all of my responsive websites in the future. And I'd basically throw away my entire workflow that I'd been so reluctant to get rid of in the past. So the new project workflow would look a bit more like this. I'd still have my discussion, and I did have some sketching and planning stages, but I kept those largely to myself because the plan was to do everything in wireframes in HTML. And then build all of the data into the wireframes and focus on the information architecture and the user experience and allow the design to grow organically around it. This seemed brilliant to me. And even more importantly, was that there would be this open line of communication with the client at all stages. So we'd be able to talk back and forth because the specific client wanted to be very hands-on. And I was happy with that. I thought this was definitely the way to go. I'm not sure if I could have made that bigger, actually, just for true emphasis. How many of you remember this? It still makes me laugh. But the reason I bring this one up particularly is because of these comments about the minor changes, and more specifically, the bottom one about the site needing to be less liney, because I started to get comments through like this. Now, to be fair, this was quite early in the wireframe stage, so there were lines and things like that that probably were more pronounced than was intended for the final design. But the blue map marker was square anyway, so I wasn't really sure how that was going to help. But it then moved on to things like this. Which at this point, I kind of knew the project was spiraling disastrously out of control because I didn't even have a copy of Excel on my Mac at the time to be able to look at these. And trying to ask him to save them as PDFs so I could at least make comments was quite hard work. So it turned out the line of communication that I thought would be so brilliant turned out not to be really that great. I mean, there were some pretty big advantages to this, but because I was able to get the data in really early on, and we were able to do some really cool stuff with the searches and things like that. But the disadvantage was just that I'd provided no deliverables at any key stage of the project. I'd just allowed it to grow organically, assumed the guy was on board because we'd met, and he seemed to think like the same sort of design stuff I did. He seemed to like my ideas, that sort of thing. So I just assumed he was totally on board and had the same vision as me, and that we could just let this grow organically, and that's obviously not what happened at all. And it marred everything else because the whole project was just a horrendous nightmare in the end and ran over by about 6 months because we ran around in circles about things to do with lines. Those are my three projects that I got really horribly wrong, or approaches. If I've still not kept your interest, there is a peekaboo owl. I don't believe there are enough owl GIFs on the internet. So. Because it does just keep going. I could watch that forever. I'd fill my 20 minutes with that. Right, so now in 2014, I have a much, much more practical approach. And the one thing I've realised is there is no one solution that fits every project. Every client is different, and I have to try something different and not be afraid to try something different. Those particular ones went really horribly wrong, but I learnt so much from them that I wouldn't go back and change the fact that I made those horrible mistakes. So my current project workflow looks quite a lot like this now, which can be pretty much anything. So, you know, I still have the discussions. I still do lots of sketches and planning, and I will still provide proper wireframes to the client, or I will build the wireframes in HTML, depending on the client. But then I will have another meeting to make sure they're still on board, that they still get what I'm on about. Sometimes I'll give them Photoshop files. I don't see... There's an argument out there now that you shouldn't really do that. I don't see that that's anything. Some clients still need it. Other times I will do things like mood boards and style tiles and that sort of thing instead and move on to the build. But the important thing is the discussion part, so I can always show them where I'm up to and what I'm doing. And most importantly, I show them my ideas at all stages. So that they know exactly where I'm coming from. They know that I've got their best interests at heart for their project. So, some lessons learned. Oh, we've gone too far. So, trust between you and the client is even more important now. It needs to be nurtured. The issue of trust has always been one that we've had to address. And being a developer first, I actually found that, like, the steepest learning curve just generally anyway was all the people skills. But it's even more important now because I don't feel that a lot of people fully understand quite what's involved with a mobile or responsive website. Always plan and budget properly. You know, if you want to work through the night and never sleep, that's entirely up to you, but charge them for it at the very least, because surprises might be a great idea for the client, but they're never a good idea for you. They'll always backfire somewhere or another. Set expectations. So where I didn't show the mobile version and then the grand unveil was all slightly underwhelming because they're expecting something else, I'll never do that again, even if I show them sketches of what I think the layout will do, so they've got some understanding of what's going to happen. And most importantly, don't leave the client to their own devices at all. Just don't, because they will go off and form their own opinions and they will attend church groups and ask other people and things like that. It does happen. It's not just Shropshire, I'm sure. And if you can't provide clearly defined deliverables, then at the very least, show them your ideas. And possibly a more personal one for me is make less gigantic decisions, or perhaps plan them a little better. That's it.